Hey everyone, you're listening to the Product Marketing Insider podcast brought to you by Product Marketing Alliance. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to episode 2 of the Insider series, where we go behind the scenes talking to product marketeers about their journey into the world of product marketing. For those of you new to Product Marketing Alliance, we're a collective of passionate product marketing managers on a mission to elevate the role together. Having started the community in March just this year, we've grown to approximately 12,000 unique visitors on the PMA platform and have close to 5,000 Slack community members. So if you're not a member already, come over to the PMA and join the discussion. In this episode of the Product Marketing Insider series, we have Bryony Pierce from the PMA who speaks with Div Manickam, the Director of Portfolio Messaging at Dell Boomi. Div's also a Forbes contributor where she writes about everything concerning product marketing. I'll leave you with Bryony.
Okay, so if we can just start off, if you just tell us a little bit about you, so your name, location, what company you work for, everything.
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Div Manickam. I lead product and solutions marketing here in Dell Boomi. We are a SaaS startup where we are helping companies accelerate their business outcomes and helping break down data silos by allowing information to flow faster, whether it's processes, applications, or data sources. So super excited to be here. We ourselves are going through a product marketing evolution within Boomi, where we've started realizing that product marketing means something and everything to people and sometimes nothing to anybody. So we've been kind of going through that journey ourselves, and we've gotten to a point where we think we're better suited as portfolio messaging. And I would love to kind of dive into that furthermore.
So you mentioned it's a startup. Have you been there from kind of the inception when it was born, or were you brought in at a later date?
I joined the company just, actually I'll be completing my 3 years in October, and the company was acquired by Dell, so we are part of the Dell Technologies family, and the company's been here for a decade now, so it's no more a startup, but then we like to think that we have a startup culture, because that's pretty much how every company operates these days. You have that fast-paced life, you're kind of deciding and making decisions as you kind of like have the information in front of you. So yeah, a startup in a big company is how I would phrase ourselves.
Yeah. And then, so what is it that made you want to become a product marketing manager in the first place?
I think it was my first internship that I did right after I completed my MBA in marketing. And I knew that, and so my background is I have an engineering degree as well as a master's in cybersecurity. And so learning was something that was always important for me. And I realized that I wasn't cut out to be the coder or programmer as I initially thought when I took on my engineering degree. And so I went through the transition and started exploring what other opportunities are out there, because I think one of the things that I did want to kind of flex my muscle was the creative side of me. And marketing was the natural choice. I was like, yeah, you should do marketing. And I didn't want to do traditional marketing because that's not where my strengths are or where my passion is. So product marketing became that natural fit where I'm still tied to the technology. I'm still passionate about the technology. And then I can actually help position and kind of help make sure that we are articulating what the value of that product is, right? So that's where product marketing came into being for me. And I don't think there could be a better job that is out there. And I know that product marketing is still in its infancy, right? You see product marketing as companies kind of look, come and go, but super excited to be here. And I think product marketing is also in its next evolution right now.
So how long have you actually been in the product marketing field for now?
About 5 to 7 years now.
Okay. And do you see yourself to kind of get that balance between the creative side and staying close to the tech side of it? Do you see kind of now and in the near future staying in these kind of tech businesses to level all that?
Yes, out? I think all my life I've been within the technology companies, whether it has been startups or even Fortune 500 companies, and B2B has been my sweet spot. So any company that I see going into the future as well, it will be in the same B2B technology space.
Okay.
In Silicon Valley, so I live in San Francisco, and so in Silicon Valley, there is a shortage of tech companies that need product marketers or kind of leaders for product marketing. So it's an exciting place to be.
And then, so when you first started out in the product marketing industry, what was your first job and what did that look like?
So my first job, I actually started as a marketing communication. This was like 10 years ago. And in marketing, and that's when I actually realized there's a role called product marketing. So in marketing communications, 10 years ago, marketing communications did kind of pseudo product marketing and market marcoms together. So that's where I got exposed to it. And then I kind of, if you look at my journey and how I went through product to get to product marketing, I've done marketing communications, sales enablement, kind of going through that journey and then also going through technical product marketing. And then I finally got into product marketing. Mm-hmm. And, if none of those steps had happened, I don't think I would have gotten to product marketing, because the first time I applied for product marketing, everyone would say, oh, you have the right skill sets, but you don't have the experience. And I always tell them, yes, but if nobody gives me the chance, then it's very happy that I don't have the
problem, isn't it?
Exactly. So I kind of paved my path. And eventually what ended up happening was the skill sets and the roles that I did before helped them to see and say, oh, you've done sales enablement, so you will understand what the sales problems are. So great, you are a perfect fit for product marketing. I was like, okay, yeah, all right. If that's what will get me the job, then sure. But that's what I would encourage everybody. Typically, people think that you have to start off in product marketing to get to product marketing. That's not the reality. Because product marketing touches every team and department within a company, it's easy for you to just start one place, kind of get your foot in the door, and then kind of gain your expertise around. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, right? Like if I look at where product marketing sits within our company, we are the center point and you are surrounded by product managers, sales engineers, sales enablement, inside sales, and then you also have marketing. So where we are structured within Boomi, we are part of the product organization, and that is a perfect fit because there's a lot of work that we, and even the PMA State of Product Marketing report says that, right? Like a lot of our time is spent, 90% of our time is spent with the product folks. So it makes real sense for us to actually be within the product organization, help bring that alignment and actually look at product marketing as a strategic investment as compared to a tactical investment, right? So that's the shift that we're starting to see as well.
Well, I guess as well, this sort of experience that you've had before going into the role you are now, although mm-hmm. you didn't work in the sales and enablement department now, mm-hmm. getting a real understanding of how they work and the stance mm-hmm. they come into things with, I guess it really helps with your understanding to work with them. So do you feel like it makes your relationships with them a bit easier?
It definitely does. And that's where I would always encourage everyone to not just think about where product marketing sits, but look at what's the value for the business. And for us, the primary reason why we went, so we were part of the marketing organization and we moved into product because we definitely had a lot of alignment that we had to work on. And we wanted to make sure that we understood the product first before we tried to help, like whether with the messaging or with how we wanted to go to market. And so that is the part I would encourage everybody to keep in mind as you're thinking about where product marketing should sit. And this is also the evolution that I was talking to you about, right? So if you think about how we look at product marketing today, it's sometimes people will think, oh, and this has happened to me, like when I talk to other teams, they were like, oh, if I talk to the product team, they're like, oh, your marketing, so we'll give you all the stuff that we've done and then you take it and go create websites and content on the website or create an asset or a collateral. And then if you talk to marketing, they're responsible, oh, your product, so we would like you to help us with analyst updates. And kind of like the way they think about our role and where we are positioned is totally two sides of a coin. And so I see this as an opportunity for us to, just like we help with the company kind of do their messaging and positioning for their product, I think it's time for us to do our own messaging and positioning of who marketing is. So that's the evolution that I've seen, where I think it's time for us to think of ourselves, like if our number one priority is messaging and positioning, I think it warrants for us to consider our team as the messaging experts. And so I've started looking at our team as the portfolio messaging team, and portfolio primarily because I don't think there are companies today, and I think even the PMA report states this, right? Like the number of companies that have product marketers have at least five or more products that they are catering to. So you see it as a portfolio. And this was also an evolution that I've had as I took on the leader role in Boomi, where we initially started with, okay, let's actually, I think we had like three or four product marketers, and I was one of them. And I got the opportunity to kind of lead the team like Jan 2018. And now we are at a position where we have 12 team members actually supporting across five products, five industries, and then numerous amount of solutions that we are trying to build, right? Like, I think we have all, the companies have evolved and the market has evolved from looking at, is it just about thinking about products, or is it actually thinking about that portfolio and actually coming up with solution selling? So that's the shift that we've seen. So that's where how we have started coining the term portfolio messaging. And I consider myself as leading that effort here.
And in terms of sort of managing like five plus products, as you mentioned, so is that an aspect of the job you enjoy for the variety in a way?
I have, yes. And I think that's also the reality of the technology landscape today, right? The products that exist are part of a platform. And so you're always trying to sell the platform, and you're trying to position the platform so customers see value and that we are addressing the customer pain points. So a lot of our work that we do is trying to identify who the right buyer personas are, right? When we initially started in Boomi, we were like, yes, we basically help with integration. We solve all our customers' problems. There isn't a customer in this universe that wouldn't need Boomi. And that is not the answer that will help us or the marketing organization or the product organization, because that means you're basically trying one size fits all. And we wanted to kind of move away from that and actually help customers and also our internal, whether it's sales team or marketing team, to better understand who's the persona we're going after so that we can actually have targeted campaigns. So we went down that path of identifying who the buyer personas, and that actually helped us kind of break it down to, okay, we have top five buyer personas. Yes, there is this 10 others that are there in our queue, but the reality is these top five are who we are going to go after this year. And that focused approach will give us the clarity that we need for our role, and then also the clarity and prioritization that the company needs to actually get all our targeted integrated marketing programs together.
Mm-hmm. And then just to go back as well, so you mentioned kind of how different departments in the business view your role and how it's not always aligned. Mm-hmm. In mm-hmm. terms of positioning that messaging, do you think it's an industry-wide messaging that needs to go out, or is that an internal kind of thing that companies can do?
Initially, I thought it was just an internal alignment that we needed because people didn't understand what we do and where we brought value. So initially, when we had conversations, and this is, I think it's partly our fault because we haven't done a good job of it, enabling and helping educate our internal stakeholders of where our value comes in. So 9 out of 10 times I would have people come to us and say, or primarily like the product teams would come to us and say, hey, here's the roadmap presentation, pretty it up. Or I would have sales say, okay, I've put these slides together, can you pretty it up? And I'm like, yes, I can, but I can also help you kind of shape the message and the story that you're trying to tell. So that's where that's why I was like super excited when I saw the state of the marketing, product marketing report come out, because it helped validate a lot of what we are trying to say. And it helped me realize that it's not just a problem that we are seeing ourselves, but it's a problem that's pervasive across the industry. And because product marketing is so nascent, people still don't understand where we can add value. And so typically product marketing is like the first hire that comes in, right? They're like, oh yeah, I have a product I'm trying to sell. I need somebody in marketing. So we jump in. We try to do whatever we can. We put on multiple hats. We navigate through the projects, only to realize that we've been putting out fires every day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And haven't taken this time to step back. So that was last year for us. We were basically like, okay, we don't have basic data sheets. We don't have product briefs. We don't have solution briefs, industry briefs. So we spent the whole of last year just putting the foundation together. This year, we stepped back and said, okay, now that we have a good understanding of what it is that we do and who are the personas that we're going after, let's actually step back and create that messaging positioning document so that we are not the bottlenecks for the rest of the organization to grow. we can actually scale and help enable them. So we created this messaging document, and it's probably like 50 pages right now because we have across the products and industries that we're supporting. But that became the bedrock for everything that we were doing. So if we had, so we also have like a content and editorial team. So if they are editing and actually creating case studies, I always refer to them to this document, because what used to happen prior was we would get plugged into every case study that was getting built just to make sure that the product voice was represented. And that was great. But then that means we were just jumping from one project to another project again. So we had to kind of separate that. So I think it's an industry-wide perception change that we need to bring in. And as much as product marketing got us to where we are today, I don't think it will help us to get to the next evolution or the next stage that we want to. So I'm curious to see how companies look at portfolio messaging, and if that is the number one message. It doesn't mean that we are not going to do the things that we do today, which is helping with thought leadership, helping with content, helping with things that help kind of get the product out to the market. Those things will still exist, but it's just us staying more focused and us staying in where we bring the most value, so that we're not just trying to fill in the holes, or we're not trying to do whatever it takes to get the project to success, but realizing that our value and our role clarity that we need is here with that messaging and positioning. And I think the number two that we had was product launches, right? So if we do everything else, that means we are not doing the main things that we should focus on. Messaging positioning is number one. Product launches are the second one. And then comes, as part of that product launch, comes sales enablement, comes training, comes education, like all of those things work, AR, PR, all of those things come in. So I see those two as our top priorities, and aligning the organizations to understand that that's where we bring in value, and then work with the other teams. Because I don't think in Boomi, and I don't think in any organization that I work with, there isn't a team that I haven't spoken to.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing and the bad thing at the same time, because they all have different requests. And we have this even in our organization where our number one priority is product, then comes marketing, then comes sales, and then comes business development and partner teams, right? So that means I or my team doesn't really have the resource or the bandwidth to help with the partner enablement or help with business development requirements. And their requirements are totally different from the rest of the other teams. So it's a mix that we are working with, but at the same time, it's also helping just stay focused and making sure that we are communicating our priorities. So one of the things that we do in Boomi is we use OKRs, which are objectives and key results. And we basically have this published on our wiki where we say, hey, these are the objectives that we are working on. It helps kind of bring that visibility across the company, so everybody else knows where our priorities are as a team. And I think it helps organizations to also have that focus, because then it means that my priority is your priority as well, as compared to my priority is my priority and somebody else is some other priority, and they're just conflicting, right? So that's another thing that we've been looking at.
Yeah, I think that's a really great idea. So the internal communication side of things, I think a lot of the time, unless people can actually see the value of how mm-hmm. they're helping you as well, it's hard mm-hmm. for them to understand, really. But if they've got some data and numbers to put against yep. it, I think it really helps to get that buy-in, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it was important for us because we were going down the path of trying to do it all. And we quickly realized that it didn't matter whether I had 5 team members or 15 or 100. We would still have the same challenge because we are being spread too thin. And so it's important for us to kind of step back and try to bring that alignment and focus across the organization.
And in terms of people's perceived value of the product marketing mm-hmm. role, would you say you've seen any shifts from when you first came into the industry to now, or has it remained pretty stagnant?
I think there was a shift, and I think organizations like the Product Marketing Alliance are helping us drive that shift, because it's easy for us to think that our problems are our own, but the reality is everyone's going through the same challenges. And so I think that shift is happening in the industry overall.
So next up, in terms of a standard day, if there is such mm-hmm. a thing, what does that kind of look like for you, and what sort of jobs and activities are you in charge of?
For sure. So today's supposed to be, or it is, my no meeting Wednesday. So this is my one day of productivity. where I don't schedule any of my meetings. If I have to, I'll schedule it on Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday, Friday, and it's a good break between. So this is my, that's actually think and work through things as compared to just going meeting to meeting. As a leader of leading a team of 12, if you look at my calendar, it's probably one-on-ones and other group meetings where I'm either giving an update to other teams or they have something they need from our team. So today is my, just go through projects, go through priorities. So a lot of our efforts today are focused on that bio persona, trying to make sure we have our messaging and positioning nailed down. And then also helping kind of put, like work with the product launch initiative. So that's something that as an organization, we haven't done much of. So we are actually doubling down on product launches and making sure we actually launch products at a cadence as compared to the feature got released. And that is the launch is typically the notification that we have had. So those are the three priorities that I have. And typically, if I'm not in meetings and if it is my Wednesday, then that's where my priorities would be.
And is that a team-wide thing, you know, meeting Wednesday? Is that just something?
Something that I'm advocating for. And I've always asked my team, like, pick any day of the week. You can do half days, if you will. I think this was something that came, like people say, you know, things like this happen when there is a necessity. So when I took on the role, I literally had through the whole week, just meeting after meeting. And I didn't really know what I was doing with my time. And so I kind of put it a forceful function on myself. And so I literally have an out of office mark for Wednesdays. Yeah. So people across the organization knows. And when you have events, so we have our Bumi World conference happening in October, first week of October. And so things like that, you will have group meetings where there is no other time. So you have to make time for it. Yeah. But then it's just helping the organization and helping teams realize it. So my team's cognizant, they will, unless there is something critically urgent and needs to happen today, they'll make sure that the meetings are scheduled for any other time of the day or any other time of the week. And then I usually work with other teams to kind of evangelize. And so I also published a Forbes article talking about self-discipline and how meeting Wednesdays has kind of given me my sanity to some extent. It helps because at the end of the day, your creative thinking doesn't just happen in a half hour block. Like need a good 3 to 4 hours to kind of get through those things. And so this gives us that opportunity to kind of get there.
No, I think that's a really good idea. Like I'm the same sometimes. If I'm forced to think of an idea on the spot, my mind just goes blank and I find my best ideas come to me. You know, just, I don't know, like in the shower, I'll just think of a brainstorm and I think, oh, great. Mm-hmm. And then also sometimes with meetings, the problem is you have meeting after meeting after meeting. Meeting has an action, but then you're going into other meetings, you can't actually act on your actions. So I think that's a way to convert it.
Yeah, and that's why I chose Wednesdays. And I do have a few folks who have done Mondays or Fridays, but I feel like if I leave it till Friday, then I have a lot to catch up on. As compared to when it's a Wednesday, then my Monday, Tuesday, like if there are actions that need to happen, then I'll focus on that for Wednesday. And then try to keep my Friday second half a little light so that I can actually wrap up the Thursday, Friday stuff. So when I go into the weekend, I'm not thinking about work and I'm not looking at, okay, what else I need to try to achieve. I can just shut down and then wake up Monday morning and then get back to work. Right? Like that's the ideal scenario you want to be in. Yeah. And that is something I think is helpful just to kind of have that discipline in your life. So it's definitely helped me and I encourage everybody that I meet to be like, hey, pick a day. It doesn't have to be Wednesday, but whatever works for you, just take that time to actually think through as compared to, because meetings, if you don't put it, somebody else will put something on your calendar. So that's the reality of our world.
Yeah, I think I might have to take a leaf out of your book. It sounds like a really smart idea. So can you just tell us a bit about your team dynamic and the type of personalities you have in your team?
Sure. When I took on the role as a leader, It was interesting because I had a mix of junior folks and then very senior folks. So when I say junior folks, these are less than 3 to 5 years of experience in product marketing. And I've had very senior folks who have 20 years of experience. And so I was kind of the sandwich in the middle and I was like, okay, there's anything I can offer to senior folks because they probably have a lot more experience. But the reality is the market, the landscape, everything has changed so much that I quickly learned that there are some things that irrespective of what their experience is, irrespective of what their role is, that there's definitely an opportunity for me to help guide them and coach them in certain areas. So the team dynamics, we have a product marketing managers whose primary focus is the product, but we also realize that just having that product marketing expert doesn't do justice to the product. So we also tied it to either a solution or an industry. So if you think about like retail, healthcare, higher ed, these are all industries where some of our products have seen a lot of good momentum. So we kind of tie those things together. And then when we look at, so that's a good portion of our team. So 5 or 6 people are focused on that. We have 2 folks who are focused on competitive intelligence, because we know that at the end of the day, if the product marketing manager, yes, the product marketing manager should have a pulse on the competition for their respective products, but then we needed someone overarching that was looking at competition on a day-to-day basis and having the pulse of the market. And so we have 2 folks that are focused on competitive intelligence. And then we have one individual who's focused on product launches, because the reality is, if product launch is just one individual, like if the team is kind of taking 10% of their time to do it, that means that we're not giving the dedication and commitment that we need for product launch. So we actually hired someone recently to support product launches. And then the other aspect that we also cover are enterprise efforts. So Boomi as an organization, we were focused on the SMB mid-market, and now we have moved to the enterprise. And so we wanted to make sure that we understand that the audience and the personas that we were targeting for the mid-market are totally different from the enterprise market. So we have one individual dedicated to that. So our portfolio, as much as we have products, industries, and solutions, we also have emerging technologies, right? So where we see thought leadership, and we want to make sure that Boomi has a point of view, whether it's the latest and coolest when you think IoT, blockchain, or when you think about bots or any of these things. How does Boomi play in that industry? And how does Boomi actually have a voice in that market? So we also cater to the emerging technologies space. So that's why the team of 12 that we have a mixed roles and responsibilities, but that's kind of the charter that we have shaped for ourselves to kind of support solutions, products, and industries together.
Yeah. And in terms of keeping up with the market that's constantly evolving, how do you do that? Kind of, are you strong on advocating going to events or just reading up on industry material? Or
we actually look at industry expert piece a lot. So if there is a specific, so pragmatic marketing, this was one of our first things when I took on the role as leading the product marketing team, was bring alignment between product marketing and product management. Because yes, so a lot of the product managers that were part of Boomi did both. They did both product marketing and product management. So we wanted to make sure we had a clear understanding of roles and responsibilities and what would be a product marketer's role, what would be a product manager's role. So we went through the pragmatic marketing training with I think we had like over 30 people together, because it was not just product management and product marketing. We also brought a few folks from marketing, a few folks from professional like the sales engineering team. So we had a mix, because we wanted to make sure everybody in the company, the key stakeholders that we were working with, had that same common language and they understood where our priorities and what we were working on. And that's also one of the reasons why the messaging, positioning, product launches became a priority for us. Because before that, it was product marketing is going to help us with content, product marketing is going to help us with presentation and help us with the website. And that was pretty much it. But now we're able to kind of reshape that positioning and say, okay, these are the things where we should focus on. So let's actually invest in it. And so we brought on team members. So we basically doubled in the past couple of months to get to that. So yeah, I definitely see that change happening. And I also see the organization kind of being adaptive to it, right? Like if we didn't have our chief product officer support or the executive leadership support, we wouldn't have been able to do the pragmatic training for 30 plus people. And doing that helped kind of bring everybody on the same page of, oh, this is what the different teams' roles and responsibilities are, and these are the gaps that we have. How do we kind of overcome that? And so we actually invest in the team going through some of those efforts. And then also, just like we have the PMM summit coming next week, right? So we are in San Francisco, and we are I'm actually part of a panel, and then I one of my team members actually talking about OKRs and product marketing. So we actually want our team to have that career growth, not just be able to complete projects and not just be able to take on initiatives within the company, but have that holistic career growth. So we also go through, it's a framework that I learned from one of our Dell leadership trainings, but it's a very simple framework. It's called GROW. It basically says G for GROW, reality, options, and will. And it gives you a simple structure for you to actually say, okay, outside of your one-on-ones, this is like a quarterly discussion, because you don't want surprises when you're actually talking to your team member as part of an annual performance review. So this gives you that quarterly check-in to say, hey, whether it is for your career in Boomi or just externally, what are some of the things that you want to achieve as a goal? And so kind of setting these objectives to help you kind of get that full career growth. So we have actually been investing in team growth and making sure that we are having those conversations and not just end of the year. So that's been another big driver for us.
Yeah, so it sounds really good as well that you've got that kind of investment and support from the wider business. Mm-hmm. Like you say, yeah. Even though even maybe if you leave a year or two, that kind of approach, I guess, it really helps mm-hmm. to get the most out of your team. So whether it's directly or indirectly, it's going to feed into your metrics as well, I guess.
For sure. Yeah, and I think that is also one of the big drivers for us as an organization, because as nimble and fast as the company is, it also means that we are taking the time for the employees and for the teams to kind of develop where their strengths are. And it's an amazing opportunity to kind of be able to take the time to do that, because it's easy for us to say, yes, it's not a priority right now because we have something else that is a priority. And if we all put our mind to it, we can always make that a priority. And yeah. The team's growth is always a priority for us.
That's really good. So in terms of teams outside of product marketing, like sales, mm-hmm. product operations, marketing, mm-hmm. for example, which mm-hmm. departments would you say you interact with the most, and what's your setup with them like?
So the product management team is the ones that we interact the most. So 90% of our time are probably invested in making sure that we are plugged into understanding what the capabilities are. And I think someone within the PMA Slack channel said this right, where think of product marketing as the bookend, right? You always want to bring the product marketers in the beginning when you're thinking about an idea, so that we can actually bring the voice of the market and the voice of our customers into the mix, and then bring the product marketer at the end so that we can actually help you take this to market. Don't just bring us at the end without any context or without the messaging, positioning, any of those things. So that, I think, is something that we see a lot of value. And we have been working with the pre-sales team, with customer success, with support and services to the extent that we can, to actually help them kind of bring those stories to life. So we've seen some of those activities, but just because of the resources and bandwidth, we haven't really been invested. But then I think second to product would be the marketing organization. So working with demand generation for our integrated marketing programs. We have like biweekly check-ins with them. We also meet with the sales enablement team. So making sure what we develop from the product side that is actually communicated, whether it's part of the product launch or it's part of an integrated marketing program, we are tying those dots together. So that's another area that we have actually seen a lot of momentum. And then within Boomi, we also have what we call the a cross-functional leadership meeting, which happens every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. And that meeting brings all the stakeholders across the company, whether it's marketing, product, sales engineering, customer success, support. So if there are ideas or discussions that need to happen at that level, that leadership meeting helps us to bring the alignment that we're looking for.
Okay, good setup. And then, so in your absolute dream world, is there mm-hmm. anything about those relationships that you change, or is it exactly how you'd want it to be as it is?
I'm sure every relationship, there will be things that you would want to change. I think one that I would emphasize on is helping companies and helping teams realize that being a product-first company is like the right way to go. And as much as we invest in sales, and as much as we're trying to drive that approach, that's just across the industry, that's how it has been done. But I think showing them that, hey, when you actually invest in a product first company, that's how the companies actually dominate, and actually giving them that, building that awareness and helping them understand it is very critical. So we see that as another area of opportunity to just help educate them and help them understand where we bring value. And I think that portfolio messaging will give them that clarity of where we come in and where we can actually help contribute as compared to the outcomes or the deliverables that they're looking to achieve from our teams.
And do you ever sort of find it frustrating that you feel like you have to demonstrate the value of the role of a product marketer? For example, sales departments, I guess, don't have this need as much. It's just a given that they're adding to the bottom line.
We do, yes. And that I think, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that I think is the main reason why we are actually investing in a dashboard. And one of the key reasons why our chief product officer said, hey, if we can't measure what we are doing, like the OKRs was one way for us to say, hey, these are the activities and these are the initiatives that we are going to drive and kind of define those objectives. But then a dashboard, which would be the portfolio messaging dashboard, and this is going to help us look at a customer journey, a buyer journey, and actually look at how we are influencing deals and opportunities. Because at the end of the day, our messaging and positioning, the product launches that we're going to do, yes, we can define KPIs to kind of say, okay, if we achieve this KPI, then this is a successful project. But then how do you tie that directly to a lead or an opportunity is still in flux, and is still something that I think organizations are trying to figure out. But at the same time, if we are product first, the product usage adoption is something that is very critical for us, and we should be able to drive that momentum. So the PM, and I call this the PMM dashboard, but that's the portfolio messaging dashboard, where you are actually showcasing where we are bringing value and where are the gaps that exist today. So some of the efforts, like when we did the integrated marketing programs last year, the big question that I had was, is this working? Yeah. Is our job just to create content because we need content, or is our job to create quality content? So from last year to this year, one of the shifts that has happened is we will spend 3 to 4 months if that means that's the content that is the right one we need to develop, as compared to spending a month or two building 2 or 3 assets. And so that's the shift that we're also driving in the organization. And I think metrics and being able to actually measure some of those KPIs, and actually having a dashboard where I'm looking at the same dashboard, my team's looking at the same dashboard, the executive leadership is looking at the same dashboard, will help kind of drive that change. And if there is a bottom line that we want to drive, I think it's having something like that, yeah, that will help us kind of show the value that we're bringing, so that we are not trying to justify ourselves just because there isn't a direct correlation. But I'm sure there are attribution models. There are other ways that you can actually drive some of those efforts. Because at the end of the day, I think if there's a synonym you want to find for product marketing, it is that thought leadership aspect. Mm-hmm. And if we're not driving that thought leadership, then we are missing our mark on the industry and the market itself.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And the reason I ask as well, so I'm traditionally from a content marketing background, mm-hmm, and I feel we have very similar problems, because you don't get the last touch attribution as a content marketer. Mm-hmm. You go, mm-hmm, the sales team will close it, or it might be, yep, final click to PPC ad or, mm-hmm, anything else really. So then constantly having to justify how content, yeah, marketing played its role in that last touch attribution. Mm-hmm. And that's been a time-old problem in my career.
That, yes, 100%. And that's where I think we should just step back and say, hey, it is more a strategic investment as compared to a tactical, trying to tie every work that we are doing into an effort. And so like taking that step back and saying, hey, if product launches is what's going to help us drive that, then let's just double down and work on that. So that, you're 100% right. That's, I think, everyone's dilemma that we have today, where we are trying to justify, but at the same time, also trying to focus and prioritize, are we working on the right thing? So if I had like one thing I would say to product marketers out there, or even product marketers who are looking to be leaders, always ask these questions when you're thinking about where you want to focus. Are you trying to fill in a gap just because the gap exists today and you can do it, so you are taking that initiative and kind of being that team player? But then also ask the question, how long is that going to continue? Because that means you're taking away time from something else that you should be able to prioritize on. And then also look at across the company, like, is this a priority across the company, or is it just one team's initiative that you're just trying to fill your shoes? And then the last one I would say is this the best use of the time and effort? So oftentimes teams will work on a project only to realize that the outcome was much less than the effort that was put into it. So if you take that 80-20 rule, are you able to drive 80% results with 20% effort, or are you actually having a 20% impact with 80% effort? So those are, I think, good markers to keep in mind so that you can actually focus and have that role clarity. And yes, we have a big challenge in front of us to help people to realize that, hey, product marketers are, because like you said, right, like content marketing exists and people don't understand the difference between the two. And so they'll either come to our team or to the content marketing team or both, and we're all working towards the same goal. So we want to just make sure we have that shared goals and objectives defined.
So what would you say the top three skills are that have helped you get to where you are today? And can you share some examples of when they've come into practice?
Sure. So as a leader, and I think this is slightly different from an individual contributor, so one of the big things for me was having that focus and prioritization. As I took on the role, I quickly realized that it's easy for us to let other teams tell you what to do. And that means that you're basically just chasing projects after projects. So having that focus and prioritization was very critical. And then also making sure you have the discipline to say no. As much as you want to be a team player and as much as you want to say, yes, I've got this, and you will try your best to not be underwater, you will be. And so you need to be able to know how much you can take on and always keep that 10 to 20% buffer, right? As idealistic as it may sound, we need to, because that is, there will always be projects that will be a last minute drill. That's a last minute fire that we need to put down. And if we don't have that buffer, then some other project is going to slip and you don't want to be the reason why that happens. So only commit to things that you can do. And then the others just say no. That I think definitely helps. And I think if I had two things to keep in mind, those two would be the big ones.
Thank you. And then are there any regrets in your product marketing career that have stayed with you?
Regrets. I think the big one for me, and I think this is also down to the whole prioritization, is I don't think we have done justice to understanding our customers and having the time to do that market research, having the time to understand what the voice of the customer is. And so if I look at all the things that we want to do, from messaging positioning to product launches to helping with sales enablement and collateral, customer and market research is like the fourth one on that list. And it's the fourth one and not the first one for a reason, but I think we are doing an injustice by not actually putting that as the first priority. Mm-hmm. So if we had to like do something differently, I think it would be that, because every year as we go into our Boomi World conference, you're like, hey, this is our opportunity. We help with breakout sessions. We talk with customers, and we want to be able to articulate and share those stories after the conference. And that doesn't ever happen. Just because after Boomi, well, then it's time for sales kickoff, and then we prioritize our efforts on that. So if we had to kind of focus our efforts a bit better, I think that would be one. Yeah. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. Hopefully, we'll get there. But that's definitely one that I think we have a lot of opportunity to kind of grow into.
Okay, awesome. And then you mentioned earlier, so the product team is the one you kind of collaborate with most currently. Is there a lot of crossover between your job responsibilities with the product team, would you say?
We did initially, like 2 years ago when the role clarity wasn't well-defined, but now I think we've gotten to a point where PM and PMMs are their digital twins and they're helping each other. I think it was that education and bringing that alignment with the like the pragmatic marketing training that we did that helped us understand, okay, this is where our strengths are and this is where the PM strengths are. Let's make sure we're helping each other. And that, I think, helped us a lot.
So is that something you kind of advocate to other companies to make sure these responsibilities are quite well defined?
Yeah, and that's primarily the reason why pragmatic marketing exists, right? Like they understood that there was a gap and there needed there was a need for that role clarity. So I think we are starting to see more of that. But if organizations were kind of starting to build product marketing and product management in their companies, that would be probably the first step. And I think it helped us because we didn't just say, okay, let's just do it for product marketing or just for product management. We brought cross-functional alignment. So we brought the stakeholders from other teams as well. And I would encourage to look at it that way, because once you have that cross-functional alignment, then your initiatives, your priorities will become much, much more aligned than the PM or PMM teams.
Yeah, that's good. And then what does the process of introducing and influencing new products or features look like at your company? And how does it compare to previous places you've worked at?
The way we have done it, and this is why product launches have become a priority for us, so we have started seeing the need to not just think of, so because we are a SaaS company, we have monthly releases. And as part of that monthly release, you actually start seeing efforts which are features and functionality that are being released on a month-by-month basis, but that doesn't actually mean that it's ready for launch. And it took us time to actually help the cross-functional teams realize that just because a functionality or feature is going GA doesn't mean that it's launch ready. If you are thinking of actually doing a full-fledged launch, we actually went through a framework of different launch levels, and every product manager that said, hey, I have a capability or a feature or functionality that is launch worthy, we basically had them go through a checklist of questions. Is this a market differentiator? So we had a set of 5 questions, and we basically had them score to see if it is a level 1, level 2, level 3 launch. And as part of that effort, I think it helped the company realize that not everything can be a level 1 launch, because that was the challenge most organizations have, because they don't realize that if you are not doing the launch right, then you're hurting the organization, because your customers don't know that you launched something, and just one conference announcing it is not enough. So we need to kind of build that momentum across the board. And this is an opportunity that I think most organizations need to kind of double down on. And Roomi has tried different options, and I think the product launch framework has helped us kind of get there. So that's definitely an area that I would invest in if we had to look at.
And is that something you've done at previous companies before? Is that just something you've kind of introduced at your...
We have had launches. Like, I think every company has a different definition of launches. In prior companies, because I was part of like a technical product marketing team, yes, we did have that launch momentum, but we didn't have it as streamlined or as cross-functional as we are trying to do it today in Boomi. So that's definitely a step up for us.
Yeah. Okay. And then in your opinion, what do you think needs to change about product marketing?
I think more brand awareness of helping organizations understand where product marketing comes in, and also helping companies realize where we can bring the value in. Like, basically a do's and don'ts list of, hey, here are the things that are the best use of our time, and here are the things that we can do it if you need us to, because you're filling a gap, but here are the things that are not a good use of our time, in simple words. Yeah.
And then last question, if there's any new or aspiring product marketers listening to this right now, what advice would you give them to kind of kickstart the career?
I would say find your path. There is no straight line for you to get to product marketing. Just like I mentioned, mine was a curvy path. I've taken on roles between sales enablement. I was also a BI analyst at a time. And the BI analyst led me to get a role in technical product marketing. The technical product marketing got me the role here in Boomi as a product marketer. So there is no straight path. Just find the path that you want to go, and also figure out what kind of a product marketer you want to be. Are you a data-driven product marketer? Are you a storyteller? There are different ways how you can go into product marketing, and it's up to you to kind of find that sweet spot. If like telling stories and kind of helping package those stories, then that's one path. If you want data to support everything that you're doing, that's another path. You can be a specialist, right? You can just say, hey, all I'm going to focus on is one product, and I'll know the ins and outs, and I'll be the expert and the SME for that. or you can say, I want to be more of a generalist and kind of take a much broader approach and help kind of build that vision out. And irrespective of which product marketer you become, always look at metrics and KPIs to kind of measure your success, because it's easy for us to just go from one project to the other and not really be able to reflect back and say, okay, am I driving revenue? Am I driving MQLs, or am I driving customer retention, right? Those are, you could basically have three teams within product marketing doing those things, or you could just have product marketers, depending on the go-to-market strategy that they have, focus on one of those aspects.
Yeah. Okay, so I said last question, but you just sparked another one, so I lied. In terms of saying to choose what type of product marketer you want to be, would you say your answer to that has changed from when you started to where you are now, or have you remained the same type?
I think it has changed, because when I initially thought of product marketing, I thought it was just that expert of understanding the ins and outs of the product and being able to take complex features and functionality and turn it into business value was the goal. But as the industry has evolved, like if it is just one product that the company is selling, great. But then if it is a portfolio, then you need the team collectively to understand what each other's product strengths are. And this was an exercise that we had to do early in the year, because as we were going into sales kickoff, we realized that the team didn't really know what the strengths of each other's products were. And so we basically did team learning sessions to help educate our team. Because if our team didn't know, then how do you expect the rest of the company to know? And so that's something that, as you are thinking about that portfolio, and then we also expanded to industries and solutions. And so depending on how your company is structured and how you are shaping the story, the bottom line is it needs to be as simple as it can be, because if it is not simple, then you'll struggle with adoption and people won't understand what you're trying to communicate. But if it is as simple as they wake up in the morning and that's the first thing that comes to their mind, then that's the goal that we want to achieve. And I think that shifted from my initial perception of what product marketing was 5 years ago.
Well, that one was actually the last question, I promise.
All right. Well, this
Thank
was
you
fun.
So much for taking the time to answer all our questions. It's been really interesting talking to you.
Likewise, I enjoyed the discussion, and we are definitely on to our next wave. So I'm excited to kind of be part of the wave and also help kind of bring that shift in the industry itself.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got some really exciting time, really kind of interesting and kind of unique setups in your own company. So, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody. If you're still there, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the pod, please do share it with your product marketing people. We're just starting out on our podcast journey, so we're really happy to hear any feedback that you have. If that sounded also like you'd like some time on air, just let us know and we'll put something in the diary. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.